Welcome back to Kidmin Talk. This is Carl Bastian, the kidologist, the creator, the leader, the wacky guy at the head of kidology.org, your one-stop shop for curriculum, for coaching, for creative ideas for children's ministry. And I'm here once again to fulfill our mission, our passion, the thing that gets us out of bed in the morning and causes us to collapse exhausted at the end of the day. That is equipping and encouraging you in your children's ministry. And I'm here once again to do that on this show today. And we're sponsored today by the awesome SpeedStacks, the creators of the fastest growing, coolest, most amazing sport in America, sports stacking. So sit back and relax and get ready for another awesome show here as we talk Kidmin. Glad you're here. Well, if I were to come to your house, what would I discover about you? What would I find? Well, I'll tell you, if you were to come to my house, my office, my entire lower level is actually the Kidology International headquarters. And but it looks a lot like a kid's bedroom. In fact, if you know me, the reason I'm called the Kidologist is not because I'm the end-all expert on kids. A lot of people think that's what it is. It's because I want to always be learning about kids, and part of that is being consumed with the world of kids, because that's what kidology is all about. It's the study of kids, and that's why I call myself the kidologist, because I want to always be learning about kids and their world. But that means that I'm always immersed in their world, and I'm a kid at heart. In fact, the best compliment I ever get from kids is when they say, "Pastor Carl, you're just a kid in a grown-up's body." That makes my day. And so I've kind of never grown up. Now, hopefully I've matured in some ways and I take care of my adult responsibilities, but I've been immersed in the world of kids. And as I share in my Kidology 101 workshop, that came about in a variety of ways. One is because I got my call to ministry in a children's event when I was 10 years old. In fact, our Kidology coach, Barney Kennard, was the evangelist at my church when I was 10 years old. And he didn't know this until I was in college and we got reunited. And he was surprised to actually hear that story when I shared it, introducing him at my children's church. But anyway, that's another story for another time. But I got my call to ministry as a kid. And then I finally got a brother, wanting a brother and praying for a brother and asking for a brother from my mom for every Christmas, every birthday, every holiday, Groundhog Day. I just asked for a brother. And I finally got a brother on my 13th birthday, 2 days off. My mom was late by 2 days, but I wasn't complaining. And having a brother when you turn 13 and he's a baby and he's pretty much useless for anything for a couple of years, that kept me immersed in the world of kids. At that age, when even the Apostle Paul says, when I became a man, I threw away childish things. But I didn't. I stayed in the world of kids because I finally had this little brother who was a kid. And he kept me immersed in the world of kids. And then as I got into kids ministry, as in junior high or in high school and in college, I stayed in the world of kids. And so if you were to come to my house, you were to come down to my office, you would see on display. I'm tempted to post some pictures, but you know, I might be a little embarrassed. I don't know if I'll post any pictures. You know, you'd probably have to beg me in the forum show notes, and maybe I'll post some pictures or a video tour of my office. I don't know. I'm a little bashful about it. But you would see puppets. You would see magic tricks. You would see action figures. You would see yo-yos, and you would see all kinds of books. You would see a massive Star Wars museum. You would see photography. You would see incredible amounts of Lego. I mean, you would see a Muppet sets. I have all the Muppet figures that came out and their sets a couple years ago. I mean, you would also see a lot of political stuff, so some of you might get offended. I have every Limbaugh letter that has come out since he went on the air years ago, so I've got a huge stack of those. I'm sorry, but I'm a Rush Limbaugh guy. And you would see hiking stuff. You would see posters from Yosemite. I mean, you would see all kinds of things, and you would learn a lot about me. You would see a lot of Apple products, you know, and Apple paraphernalia, and you would see, you know, a lot of action figures. If you've been to ToyBoxTales.com and you've seen those hundreds, well, over 100, all those videos, you know that I've got literally file drawer cabinets, clear little drawers labeled with all kinds of action figures, hundreds of action figures. And so you would see that. And I'm just looking around my office here. I've got bobblehead collections, Mountain Dew bottles. Maybe I already said Mountain Dew stuff. I've got game stuff. But you would get an idea of who this wacky, crazy kidologist guy is by looking around my room. If you'd never met me, but you came to my office, you would get an idea of who I am. And you would see tons of speed stacks, all different colors, all different sizes, all different sets. You would see battle stacks. You would see all kinds of things. And it would give you an idea of what kind of person I am. And because people surround themselves with the things that they love, with the things that define them. In fact, Jesus even said a very powerful statement. He said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And hopefully, as you looked around, you would see some spiritual things too, and not just physical treasures. Because I'm acutely aware that when I die, I cannot take all of this with me. It would take a pretty big coffin, you know, to be buried with all of my Star Wars toys and my yo-yos and my magic tricks and my puppets. And I'm quite content to leave this all behind, because these are mostly ministry tools, although sometimes I look at my Star Wars stuff and I think, man, I spent way too much money in these Star Wars toys. And my excuse is that I went 15 years of wanting to be a dad and not being a dad. And so the money I would have spent on my kids, I spent on my Star Wars stuff. And as soon as I became a father, you know, the Star Wars collecting came to an end, because they started buying diapers and car seats and, you know, things for my son. So now I spend less on toys for myself and more on toys for my son. And all my Toys R Us dollars from my Toys R Us Visa, which is how I bought most of my Star Wars stuff, now is spent on cars for my little boy Luke. But my room gives a glimpse into who I am and what my interests are. And our Kidman keyword for today is the letter V. And if you've already peeked at the title or peeked at the show notes, you know that today's Kidman keyword is going to be visitation. But first, I want to talk about one of my passions, one of the things that has defined me, and it's also our sponsor for today, and that is SpeedStacks. Because SpeedStacks is one of my passions, but it's also one of my ministry tools that I have found to be very incredible and very effective. In fact, Kidology has played a significant role in bringing this sport into the church, because SpeedStacks has grown rapidly in the public school arena. And yet I discovered many years ago that it became a incredible ministry tool. And I almost discovered this by mistake, because I got my first set of SpeedStack cups from my mom. In fact, now this sounds very sad, and I don't mean it in a sad way, but my mom died of cancer in 1996. And she actually died on Christmas morning. And I know that sounds even sadder. And yet the day we celebrate the Lord Jesus coming to earth is the day we now celebrate my mom going to meet Jesus. And she had been dying of cancer, and it was we had many, many long months with her. And she made it through all of her kids' birthdays and Thanksgiving. And as her life came to an end at Christmas time, she still was able to pick out some gifts for us. And she bought me some stacking cups. Now, they weren't SpeedStacks cups. They were some that she had actually found at a dollar store. But she gave me these gifts, these SpeedStacking cups. And they were called Cup Stacks or something. And a little note in them that said, "Carl, I'm sure with your creativity, you're going to find some fun ways to use this in your ministry." Well, because this was one of my last gifts from my mom, and that I actually received them on a very somber, granted, a very somber Christmas day, they became very special to me as my last children's ministry gift from my mom. And so I use these all the time. I mean, I made up games with them, and I made up rules, and I would take them to camp, and I used them at church, and I acted like it was an official sport, and I used them at camp, and I said, this is going to be the next Olympic sport. I had never heard of SpeedStacks or SpeedStacking or the World Sport Stacking Association, none of it. I was ignorant to the whole world of sports stacking, and I thought I was making it all up. That a good friend of mine, David Van Clay, I was at a children's pastor's conference, and he said to me, "Carl, there is a cup stacking booth And I said, "You're pulling my leg." And he tried to drag me to this cup stacking booth during the setup time, and I would not even go. I thought it was a practical joke, and he was trying to bother me. But finally, later, I was walking around, and lo and behold, there was a booth full of stacky cups, all different colors, different sizes, little ones, big ones, silver weighted stacking ones, timing mats. I took one of everything from the booth. There was no one even there. I stole it all from the booth because I was sure they were going to sell out, and I left a little note on a business card listing everything I had took, promising to pay for it because I was certain that if I didn't just take it all now, there'd be none later when the booth opened. And came back later and met Roger Washburn, confessed that I was the thief that had stolen product from their booth, said, I am your greatest fan. You don't know this yet, but you will soon find out that I am your greatest fan. And that began my journey with SpeedStacks, the real official, not the dollar bill cheap ones that I had. Well, the funny thing was, I showed him how I did it. He took my cups away. He wouldn't even let me buy the cups that I had stolen or pay for them until I learned the official rules. And so I said, fine, teach me the official rules. I got to have these. And so he did. He taught me the official cycle, and I learned it. And if you look on YouTube, search Emily Fox, the former world champion at the time. There's a video of the kinologist beating Emily Fox. She fumbled. I'm not faster than her, but I did beat her. It's on YouTube. And there's a video of me racing an NFL football player. The name escapes me at the moment, but I'll link it in the show notes. He was the Chicago Bears Rookie of the Year, and I beat him sports decking. It really wasn't much of a competition. He'd never done it before. But anyway, and so I took these home, and I was so excited to tell the kids at my church that it actually was a real sport. And there was a sports decking competition, World Association and everything. And so we began to have more cups that I could share and buy them for my kids. And so I started some sports decking clinics and during the week, during the summer. And lo and behold, as this thing began to spread, kids started to invite their friends to church. We incorporated into our Awana club. And kids start bringing their friends to Awana, and speed stacking or sports stacking with the speed stack cups became one of the best outreaches in my church and a way that kids were bringing their friends to church. And so I just want to encourage you that to really take a really good look at speed stacks. And if you're not using these in your ministry, it is something that kids love. It's something you can do with kids. It's a level playing field that kids of all athletic abilities can do. And I loved it because on our topic for today, visitation, it gave me something to do when I went to kids' house. I would go over there with some speed stack cups and I would speed stack with the kids. I would give them a set. And a lot of times it was a great gift that I could take over there and give them, teach it to them at the kitchen table, and take my timing mat over there. Most kids don't have timing mats, and so I would go over there with two timing mats and say, hey, let's work on our speed stacking, and I will sports stacking, not speed stacking. Those are the cups. I get the terms mixed up. And then it would give me kind of an excuse to go over there to the home and say, I'll teach you some techniques, because there's kind of some tips and tricks and techniques to speeding up their time and shaving off a couple seconds on their score. And it was another way that I could get into the home. And so that's why they are our sponsor for today's episode on visitation. But why is visitation so important? Visitation is real ministry. You know, I don't know if you've ever given the speech. Now, I don't know if you know what the speech is. Now, the speech is what I like to call an attitude. Now, very few people have actually given the speech. But the speech is usually something that we give silently to ourselves. And it goes something like this. You know, I don't really have to be here. You know, I could be in an adult class drinking coffee and eating donuts and having my needs met. But no, I'm here with you kids week in, week out. You guys have no idea how early I get here and how late I stay, but I do it all for you guys. You have no understanding of my great sacrifice for you. And it goes on and on like that. Well, I got some news for you. First of all, the kids are never going to appreciate you. And secondly of all, they shouldn't appreciate you, nor will they ever appreciate you. And what I mean by that is not that kids are unappreciative or little reprobates that are full of lack of a gratitude. What I mean is that kids live in a world where there's always a tall person in front of them telling them what to do and where to go and how to do it and bossing them around. That's their world. Part of being the kidologist is that I like to see the world through the eyes of a child. And if you look at the world through the eyes of a child, there's always a tall person up front bossing around telling them what to do. Now, they're not bitter about that. That's just their experience. Think about it. Everywhere they go, whether it's school or sports or church, anywhere, there's a bunch of tall people around bossing them around. That's the world they're born into, and that's the world they live in. So why should they appreciate the fact that you happen to be the current tall person bossing them around telling them what to do? Because the sad reality is, if it wasn't you up there telling them what to do and where to do and to stop doing this and start doing that and to knock that off and please go do that, it would be another tall person. So the fact that it happens to be you is completely irrelevant. If you want kids to appreciate you and to notice that it's actually you doing something, you have to do something that is unexpected and is out of the norm and that other tall people in their life don't do. And that, namely, is to visit them and touch their lives outside of the structured program. You see, at church, they expect there to be a teacher or an authority figure up front telling them what to do. Now, who's calling me during my podcast? Her. All right, just ignore the telephone back there, and I'll call them back later and tell them, what is that? I'm going to pause this for a second. All right, that wasn't very professional, but I got rid of the telephones. Usually throw them in the other room. I forgot to do that today. Well, they don't expect you to visit their home. And if you think about the ministry of Jesus, what did he do? Did he ask people to come to the synagogue to hear about the gospel and to hear the things that his father wanted to share? No, he went to where people were. He did some teaching in the synagogue, but the bulk of his ministry was him walking with people, going to where they were on the hillside, along the Jordan River, in their homes. He went to where they were. I loved the ministry of Sun Life because it was the Son's life. We need to have a ministry that reflects Jesus' ministry. And the way we do that is by getting into the home of kids. If you want to understand kids, the best laboratory is their home. And just as I was saying, you would get to know me better by seeing my office. Kids don't have an office, but they have a bedroom. And their bedroom is like a diorama of their heart. And when you see a kid's bedroom, you get to see what they like. You get to see a diorama of their interests and what they're like. It's amazing. And you get this understanding of that child that you would never get on a Sunday morning. And it's just amazing. So let me give you some ideas of ways that you can get into a child's home. And it will transform your effectiveness on Sundays as you relate to those kids and you teach those kids because they connect with you. I mean, when I go to people's homes with my son, the first thing he wants to see is, let me see your bedroom. And when we have visitors come to our house, first thing Luke says is, let me show you my room. Kids love their room. They're proud of their room. Their room, they know it's a part of their identity of who they are. And they take time to decorate things and to put things up and, you know, to put posters up because it's an extension of who they are. So how do you get into a kid's home? Well, your first option, of course, is to get a ski mask and some dark clothes and some infrared goggles and to break an entry when they're on vacation. But I don't recommend that. All right, so just scratch that. I'm not even going to put that in the show notes. All right. One of the ways you can do is a visitation prize, right? You can actually hold a contest where the kid who memorizes the most verses or brings the most friends or behaves the best or some kind, where you are the prize. I've mentioned this before in the podcast, where you will come. I mean, how many times did Jesus say, I'm coming to your house today? I mean, how awesome was that when Jesus said, I am coming to your house today? Why don't you make that a prize? I am going to come to your house. Whoa, the kids would love that, that you would actually come to their house. And so you come to their house and you come with balloons, you come with a gift, maybe it's a kid's Bible or something, and you come and you visit their house and they're going to clean up their room, they're going to make it look so awesome, and you take a picture with you and them in the room and you put that on a bulletin board at church, and you could have a whole bulletin board that's just pictures of you in the bedrooms of the kids in your church. Kids are going to be signing up and say, when are you going to come to my house? All right, and you just do that. On birthdays, you could visit kids in their homes on their birthdays. It might be a 10-minute visit where you just come to wish them a happy birthday, bring a birthday packet. I mean, I've written and talked about birthday packets in the mail. What if you just showed up on their birthday and with a short gift, visited them, checked out their room, prayed with them, talked to the parents, and just got a glimpse into their bedroom? And I'm going to talk a little bit about what you're looking for. Right now, I'm just talking about how to get into their home. And then, of course, ministry visits. When a child is sick, when a kid is injured, they broke their leg, they broke their arm, they've just had a surgery or something, or special needs. You know, a kid's dad just got laid off, all right? Or mom's got cancer. You know, there's something going on in that home. Man, don't call. Don't send an email. Don't send a sympathy card. Kids don't need a card in the mail. I mean, that's important. But there's some things that are more important that you just got to get over there and visit that child and sit down with them and talk with them. Don't worry about if you don't know what to say. A lot of times we don't know what to say. Scripture says the Holy Spirit will give you words to say, but you need to sit down with that child and talk to them and encourage them. Take a little special gift or something. If they just got out of the hospital, whatever, get into that home. And while you're there, be observant, all right? Now, here's a really fun one, and it's videotaping the room. Anytime you want to speak on the return of Christ and being ready and how, man, when Jesus comes, we're not going to have time to get ready and clean up our life. It's just going to be the way it is. And so I do this in every ministry, you know, every couple of years, where I say, I'm going to be coming to your house and I'm going to be coming unannounced with a video camera, and the way your room is, I'm going to videotape it and you're not going to be there. It's going to be while you're at school. And you just announce that one day in the next 2 weeks, I'm just showing up at your door. You're not going to be home, and I'm going to videotape your room, and it's going to be shown in children's church. And I tell you, and so they go home, and man, oh man, they clean their rooms, and the parents are so happy that Sunday. You'll be getting phone calls. What did you teach in children's church? My kid came home and cleaned his room. And you just say, oh, I did a little lesson on how important it is to honor your mother by cleaning the room. Now, let me tell you, you do not show unannounced to film a bedroom without telling the mother, okay, or you're going to be in big trouble with the moms. But you coordinate with the parents, and you say, now, I don't want you cleaning up the room for your kid, but I will let you know that I'll be coming, but don't tell the kid. Now, some moms are going to cheat because their own self-esteem and pride's on the line. That's a shame, and they'll just clean the room for the kid. But a lot of the moms will understand what you're doing, and you coordinate, and you come over, and you videotape the bedroom, and I always say I won't film in the top drawer, you know, that's the underwear drawer, or, you know, mom can tell me where the underwear is. I won't film there, but everywhere else, behind the headboard, under the bed, in the closet, that's all free game. And you go over there and you do some great filming. You make their toys talk and you make the airplanes fly and the cars drive and the dolls talk. And you do some short video clips. Don't move the camera too much. The first time I did this, I was moving the camera and making things fly. And I had kids throwing up in children's church. It was not bad. It's 7 kids puke. So I moved the camera way too much. And I did a 45-minute video of all these room videos combined, and I didn't realize how much the moving camera made kids sick. So a little tip there. So a little more steady camera. But that was fun. It got me into tons of homes over a 2-3 week period. And then number 6, make the most of unexpected opportunities. Sometimes you're just giving kids a ride home. Sometimes you just find yourself at someone's house for a small group meeting or something like that. Ask if you can see the bedroom. Kids love to show their bedroom. If you want to soften the invitation so the parent doesn't feel obligated, ask the kid, say, hey, ask your mom if I can see your room. The reason I do that is it's easier for a parent to say no to the kid and to say, no, that's all right. And then you just say, hey, that's cool. And let me go through a couple of guidelines, though, to keep in mind that are very important, all right? When you talk about getting into a home, you want to make sure you have the parents' knowledge and permission. You never want to be in a kid's bedroom without the parents' knowledge. That could really freak out a parent. So you want to make sure ahead of time that the parents know and that they're comfortable and cool with that, because this is a private area, and you want to make sure your parents know. Men especially, if it's a little girl's room, you don't want to be in there alone. You want to make sure the parents are there. So there's wisdom in how you want to do this. And of course, you want to keep the door open when you're visiting with a kid. Kids often want to close the door. If it's a girl, often I'll just stand in the doorway as they talk about the room and show me things, and that's fine. I've even said, if I'm less familiar with the family, I've even just asked one of the parents, hey, can you stay with me? And they'll sometimes appreciate that. So it all depends on your comfort level with the family, and just make sure that you show wisdom in this. Don't be nosy, all right? You know, parents have let you into the home, but that doesn't mean they've given you security clearance to go exploring every room. Sometimes kids suddenly want to show you the basement, their parents' room, and every other place, you know, in the house, all right? Now, sometimes you just need to say, you know, I don't think your mom wants me going into her room, all right? And so you just, sometimes the kid's room is that it. You know, that's all that they've really given clearance for. And then this is really important. Don't overstay your welcome. You know, my youth pastor used to say at the end of every event, thank you all for coming. Thank you most of all for leaving. You know, and that was his humorous way to say, you know what, it's time to go home. Make sure you don't stay too long. You know, the best thing to do is to make sure you want to be invited back. So just make sure that you leave them wanting you to come back. You don't want your one visit to be your last visit because you just couldn't take a hint of when it was time to leave. So people will never ask you to leave. So you want to make sure you leave while they still want you there, because then they're going to invite you back again. So what do you do when you're there? Well, you can obviously ask to see their room, and you can, that's their turf, and you look around. And while you're there, look at the things they have in their room and talk about their things they have in there. And don't judge anything. If you see posters of some music group that you don't approve of or books that you don't approve of, don't jump on the kids. This is observation. You can address the things you don't approve of or you have concerns about. You can address those things at church. You can address those things in your teaching. If you really are bothered by something, maybe you can bring that up with the parent, depending on your relationship with them. But don't judge the child, because they've opened up a part of them. And this is for you to observe and get to know them. But man, how would you feel if you invited someone into your home and they're showing, you know, you were showing them something about your home, and then all of a sudden they start judging you, all right? And then ask questions about things. You know, ask why they have certain things, if they have actors or athletes or singers. You know, ask what they like about them, or ask them, you know, where they got it. Sometimes there's hidden stories of experiences or travels or people that have impacted their lives. And then talk about those things and compliment them and give them constructive feedback on the things that they have, and then spend time to play with them. You know, if they've got Lego kits or they've got a building set or a dollhouse or something, sit down and play with them. There's nothing better than to be relational and then just to sit down and spend some time playing with them. And if you're discipling them through the Awesome Adventure Discipleship book, that's one of the ways I get into the home for a period of time, but it also has a conclusion to it, is I've discipled kids by going to their home over a period of 12 weeks and just taking them through a series and really gotten to know them and poured into their life. And then they know it's going to come to an end, so I can pour my life into another child's life. So discipleship can be an effective way. But it makes such a huge difference, because as I get into kids' homes, then when I'm teaching, I know what I'm battling. I know what I'm trying to counteract. I know what things I can bring up as specific examples. And I can even say on Sunday, you know, in some kids' homes I've seen this, or some of you are into this, or some of you guys, the world is saying this. And you can react to those things. You know, if you see when Pokemon was huge and it was saying you gotta have them all, I saw lots of Pokemon out there, and I was able to talk about, you know, the world says you gotta have them all. Well, you know what? You don't have to have them all. That's greed. Now, I wasn't attacking any individual kid, but the kids who were into Pokemon and they heard me talking about that, it was a way to gently counteract that message that they were getting, you know, from the world. So you can learn from what they have in their home. And sometimes I'd go and I'd see a poster and it'd be some group I hadn't heard of. And so I would go home and I'd go into Google and I'd learn about it. Download a couple of songs. You know, I remember when Britney Spears hit and she was huge, and I hadn't even heard of her. And it was funny because McDonald's was giving away a Britney Spears album with a couple of her songs. So I said, oh, I'll get that Britney Spears album. And I put it in there, and my wife found the Britney Spears CD in my car and said, what are you listening to Britney Spears for? And I said, because there was a kid at a church that had Britney Spears. I had to find out who she was. She's like, well, don't you be buying any more Britney Spears stuff. It was kind of funny. So I was like, I got in trouble because my wife caught me with a Britney Spears album. I was like, it's from the McDonald's Happy Meal. But you know, I was researching, you know, who Britney Spears was, because I found posters of her in the kid's room, you know, so I promised her I wouldn't buy any more Britney Spears stuff. But you got to find out what kids are into and learn what it is, and then be able to talk about some of their songs and some of their lyrics and what the Bible says and how it will counteract it. And you can bring those things up in your kids' church, and it makes a huge impact, and it makes a huge difference. You know, there's a chapter in the Kidology Handbook called Getting Into the Home, and I'm going to extract that chapter out of the PDF. I'm going to put that in the show notes. It's from the section on relationships, and you can download that. And I would encourage you, if you don't have the Kidology Handbook, to get the whole thing. There's an entire section on relationships, and it, beyond getting into the home, it talks about using mail and using the telephone and using other ways to improve your relational ministry to kids. But let me challenge you. If you've never been in a child's home, it doesn't matter whether you're just a Sunday school teacher or a club leader, or whether you're at the top of the ministry administrating directors and teachers and volunteers, when you get into the home of a child, your leader's kids or the kids in your classroom, it makes a world of difference, because you get to see who it is you're ministering to and why it is that you're doing what you're doing, and it changes you. And then because you're truly engaging in relational ministry, give you a greater insight into the interests and needs of the kids and endear them to you, so that they're all the more eager and ready to receive the instruction from you. Ever had a really good friend who'd never been to your house? I don't think so. If you want to be the friend, you've got to get in to their home. Well, for us to wrap up, I have got to announce our winner. Now, nobody guessed visitation. That doesn't surprise me, because it is a lost art in ministry, and it's one that if you do it, it will make a huge impact. It will surprise people because it is lost from ministry. Very few pastors, very few teachers, very few leaders or club leaders go to people's homes anymore. It surprises people. It will make an impact specifically because nobody does it anymore. Nobody bothers to go to people's houses. Everything's communicated by electronics. Just as a handwritten note will make a huge impact, going to somebody's house will just shock and amaze people. All right, it is shock and awe that you would actually take time out of your busy day and so do it. But I have to pick a winner. And so I am going to go with Jackie McAllister, because she suggested vomit. Now, I know that's gross, but hey, it made me laugh. And who in kids ministry hasn't had to deal with that Kidman keyword? So Jackie, I'm going to send you a full copy of the Kidology Handbook. If you already have it, let me know, and we'll take care of you in some other way. Well, this wraps up this week's Kidman Talk. As I like to say, don't be a slacker, be a stacker. If you don't have a set of Speed Stack cups, Kidology is one of the most affordable places to get them. So get yourself a set and start stacking, and then introduce it to your kids. They will love it. They will get addicted. They will start bringing their friends to church to stack, because you have the place where sports stacking is. Remember, please interact in the forum. Try and guess what next week's Kidman keyword is going to be. After the letter V, you know what the letter is. It's the letter W. And then we're going to wrap it all up with XYZ. You can talk there. You can email me, carl@kidmantalk.com. You can tweet @KidmanTalk. Until next time, this is Carl talking Kidman with you.